Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were live from Cheltenham Racecourse this afternoon. It was day one of the festival with Paddy Power in the Paddy Power suite.
Yeah, one of us is cashed up.
Yeah, one's doing very well. One's buying the drinks tonight. The other one is pleading poverty. I've not had a sniff.
That's not like you, really.
Not it is. No, normally I don't have much joy, but I enjoy it. It's just... You know, it's just a bit of fun.
Oh, it's just a bit of fun.
Don't get much money. It's a bit of sport, as they say.
And
what are we going to put in the podcast today?
We set the scene to start with, and then Paddy came in and he set the scene from his point of view, which was great.
Quite a lot of scene setting so far.
Well, that's right. I like a scene setter.
Yeah.
And Mr. Parry didn't set any scenes, but he did.
He didn't set. He knocked quite a lot of scenery down. Mike Parry, as he left, let's let you in on a secret.
He did.
They've got a lucky losers board down. Somehow Mike sort of cannoned into it and send it all flying, including pot plants. Humanity. We have photographic evidence.
Yeah, put that on Twitter, John. That's fantastic.
Just basically smashing the place up, is Mr. Parry.
He was. Paul Whitehouse popped in the studio in London to talk to us about Only Fools and Horses. That's good to hear from him.
A bit of football with him.
Charlie Baker, of course, from the warm-up and sat in for me recently.
Yeah.
He came along as well, so he was on good form.
He was.
I think that's about it, really.
Yeah, we'll bring you that. Okay, well, here's the flavour of this afternoon. Day one at Cheltenham on TalkSport.
We can now place a bet here in the suite. Mm. So I'm going to go running out to the tote and everything. I get better odds from you anyway. And it's really convenient for me to lose my money.
There you go. We have to pay for this somehow, Andy.
That's what he's here for. That's right. But what used to happen, Paddy, is that people would thought that we were the bookies.
Oh, yeah.
So people had often come up with a big roll of 50s and say... and
were you ever tempted to just have a go?
Occasionally, if you and Ruby had gone through the card and it sounded like it didn't have a prayer, there was a moment where you thought... You know what? We're never going to have to pay. But it's high risk, that.
It's a high risk strategy.
We're not bookmakers.
No, it depends what your man looks like. He's a big, huge, bald lad.
Yeah, you never quite know about their connections.
There is a slightly different feel about the meeting this year because of the prevailing circumstances. And you were saying yesterday, I mean, your dear old dad, wonderful man, he's here. But your mum's decided not to
come. Yeah, mum decided not to travel. And a couple of their friends didn't as well. And for Mum, it was more just... Probably not worth the risk, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so she's happy, and she would have been freaked out when she's over here, so she's better off to have done that. I presume there's going to be a good few people. I mean, there's a few empty seats in here, but most people have turned up.
Oh,
have you lost? Have any people had to pull out from your point of view?
Well, there's a few. I've had a couple of people have changed. I've called up in the last few days, and they're good enough to tell us, so we're able to refill the seats or whatever. But generally, most people are here, I think. So it's the conversation I have with literally every person I bumped into today. If it was next week, it wouldn't be on. I'm here like, why is it on then?
Well, I mean, there's a few whispers at the moment, just talking to people in the racing world, that they think we're right on the cusp here with Cheltenham. They're very worried about the national meeting.
But the thing is, like, we all talk about it, it's natural that we speculate about it, but none of us have a rashers, really.
No, we haven't got a clue. You're absolutely right. And we noticed there were some hand sanitizers on the way in.
I was very impressed as we came in just before the boxes, and there was a whole row of hand sanitizers. Yeah. So immediately
on wheels.
Well, I immediately went to them, and one of the security staff said, "Yeah, don't bother. There's no soap. There's no hand gel in them yet." That was 11 o'clock.
Really useful.
Cheltenham hasn't run out of Guinness yet, but it's run out of hand sanitizers. Yeah.
And we were very grateful to you because Admiral Wristbands, as we call him, was on the door.
Yeah. Oh, you're mad.
He never lets us in.
You were stopped.
But thank goodness you were there. So
he's
got
quite officious. He asks us every year, "Gentlemen, do you have your wristbands?"
I said,
"Well, we don't need them. We're broke." "Well, I think you do."
He's quite
velvet glove. I think you do need your wrist. It's quite menacing in his own way.
But it's funny because a lot in Cheltenham, I think it's like, and this, I'm trying to say this in a way that's not in any way insulting, but a lot of the security guards of the hospitality are, a lot of them are older, and like maybe ex-army. I think so you see them in there with medals on their chest and everything. Absolutely. But older men, like, I mean, you wouldn't be messing with them, but they're pretty old. Like, I mean, do you know the kind of way? I'm sure if you want to put the shoulder down and have a go.
Well, having said that, I'd just love to see Andy wrestle to the ground by a D-Day veteran.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Me.
By the collar. Anyway, let's speak to a former military man now.
Oh, very much.
He fit right in with the security staff.
Sorry, Rupert. Oh, my goodness.
Rupert Bell joins us now. Good afternoon, Rupert.
Good afternoon. Stand to attention, boys.
about that.
We saw you on the... Such a double entendre. We saw you on one of the screens as we were walking around the course, and you're still wearing that terrible yellow jacket.
Oh, come on, he looks fantastic in it.
No, it is a recycled jacket with 20 washed cups adorned about my person. I am proudly sporting the Magners Cheltenham jacket. So,
most importantly, it was free.
Yeah, of course. It's Paddy, a free bit.
Paddy, you know me too well. I love a bit of swag, and I'm happy to look an idiot while wearing it. But anyway...
We've got a couple of minutes, gentlemen, to talk about the first
race.
We want to make sure we're well in time for the Cheltenham Roar for the first race. So, 1:30, Supreme Novices Hurdle, Paddy. It's a few horses that were really fancied, like Shishkin. Old mate Andy Smart was sweet on that, said it was his nap. We heard you and Ruby saying... Not sure. Was that the conditions?
I think it's... I've just seen him getting jocked up there. It is kind of the conditions, because the ground has softened up a little bit.
And soft in heavy places, they're now calling it. And Shiftskin is a drifter in the market. He's gone up... Well, I say that. Went to 7-1. Now that some people are going back from 13-2. It's Willie Mullins' horse, Asterion Falange, who is the 3-1 favourite. And the Irish, in fact, are dominating with the top two. Abacadabra's is a 7-2 chance. But then it looks, the betting would suggest it's a five-horse race. I don't know whether you agree with...
What about Fiddler on the Roof? I say that because I'm on it.
A lot of love for that one, Paddy, when you guys were chatting.
Yeah, I like Fiddler on the Roof. I think the Irish novices, the novice herders might be quite as good as the English ones. But I think Fiddler on the Roof is one that has a massive chance at about 5-1,
Fantastic. Sorry, Rupert, just very quickly, finally.
Well, what I was saying, Joe Tizzard thinks they've got a fantastic group of novice hurdlers, and Fiddler on the Roof is right in that category. So the confidence is definitely emanating from the yard that they believe they've got a big chance. 5-1 chance.
Brilliant. Thank you, Rupert. We look forward to it. 5 minutes' time, we'll have live commentary of the first race.
Can I just say as well that actually, because whatever myself and Rupert think is kind of irrelevant, Ruby Walsh was in here earlier, and he actually tipped up Elixir Danae at 16-1.
16-1, a little bit of each way. Still time then, you've got 5 minutes to get on that, says Ruby. Thank you, Paddy. You're going to be sitting alongside...
So I'm going to sit here. I'm going to commentate with you, with Rupert. I'm going to help him out. Well, I'm going to pretend I'm going to help him out, and then when he runs out of breath, I will say nothing. And hopefully he's invited me to down to his commentary position.
Lovely.
Big race. I'm very excited about it.
Brilliant.
That.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's Mr. Mike Parry, of course. Mike, lovely to see you.
Well, listen, guys, it's lovely to be here. It really is. What a fabulous day in the calendar. What a fabulous day.
Oh, yeah. Sport,
you know, the first day of Cheltenham, okay? And it never fails to excite, does it? And the other amazing thing is, as usual, you know, I came down from Stockbroker Belt, Surrey today, and I thought, you don't need a coat. It's so mild and all that. You get down here, and there's a microcosm kind of climate, isn't there? In this amphitheatre, which is the Cheltenham Racecourse, which just freezes your tips of your nails off.
I wonder what you're going to say there.
Exactly. But anyway, listen, fellas, let me tell you this. I'm smarter than the average bear, and I got the third horse on the race that's just gone, Chantry House.
Lovely.
Andy has very kindly pointed out that was at 7-2.
Yeah.
A tenner each way. Should get my money back.
15-2.
15-2. Thank you. 7-1 almost, So I should get a bit of money back there. I was going to go on Abacadabra.
Yeah.
And I thought there's something about that name, like Abracadabra, but it's called Abacadabras. I spotted that because I'm smarter than the average bear. And then, of course, I went to the race card and I saw that it had a red shirt.
Oh,
right. I cannot bet on any horse whose jockey is riding in red silks for obvious reasons.
As an Evertonian,
However, when the horses came out, there was a misprint in the programme because it wasn't red, it was Ruby.
Oh.
Oh, Ruby. Ruby, don't take your love to town. And I could have bet on it, but I didn't bet on it. It came second, so I could have got second and third. Anyway, I didn't, but that's the way things go.
That's the nature of punting, Mike.
Certainly is.
At least you got to sing, which is marvellous.
Yeah, which
yes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
That time, that we had a clip once. We never had a chance to ask you about this, but
yes.
I think you were working on talk radio, and I think you had a young producer. And you convinced him to let you sing the entire song. Can you remember what song it was?
It was an Elvis song. It was an Elvis song. And you sang. You didn't just do the. You didn't just do.
Just a little bit like that. You did the whole song. It was.
Well, hang on. Which song was it?
We're all trying to remember. I'm looking at our producer.
Falling in love, was it?
It wasn't that. No.
Don't
start shouting songs.
Say,
it wasn't that one. No,
only fools. Okay, so it could have been. Could have been the one that went to number one just after he died, because I'm big into rock stars who become number one after they've deceased. So
it's an interesting take on someone's career, isn't it?
In fact, funny enough, you should say that, fellas. It's about stars who died. But my life therapy, part of my life therapy regime this morning is not this morning, but every day. But I did this morning before I came here.
Yeah,
is I just can't help believe.
That was
the
song.
I just can't help believing.
That was the one.
And it's something about a hand, isn't it? You know, and your hand in my hand, and your hand in my hand. But I think you were quite cavalier
with the lyrics, as you often are.
yes. But that's I'll tell you why that is.
Yes.
To be honest, that's because I believe I could have written better lyrics for a lot of the songs I listen to.
Of course.
Bernie Taupin, who writes Elton John's lyrics, made himself a multimillionaire, got an award, got an Oscar, top guy. Okay, people like him you admire, but some of the lyrics you've heard in hit songs over the years are just pathetic.
Well, look, I might just bring this on our team back in the studio in London, and I'm not expecting miracles, but if you can find it, it's Mr. Parry rewriting the lyrics to "Do You Think I'm Sexy" by Rod Stewart.
That's also good.
Some would argue, even Rod possibly, the lyrics that Mike came up with were better. They're a bit near the knuckle.
Yeah.
But anyway,
no.
we'll see if we can find that for you. If
you
guys have got it, we'll play it before Mike chooses.
Well, Rod clearly wasn't that upset because, we later enjoyed a trip up to Glasgow to see the football.
You did, I'm sure you behaved yourself.
With Sir Rod Stewart, I should say. No, I was telling you about the life therapy, fellas. I've got a very big royal blue couch at home. Huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's about 5 seats wide.
Yeah.
And I now lie on it a day on my back.
Yeah.
And I've discovered Spotify, which you guys have probably known for years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's easy. Yeah. You've got to... And I play an hour of Beatles or John Lennon music, and it completely... therapeutes my mind every day.
And
I'm telling you,
I
wish I could do it for 10 hours a day because I don't feel any better during the course
of 24 hours a day. Is it ballads or is it what you go for? What sort of stuff to go with?
When you're listening to John Lennon sing things like "Nobody told me there'd be days like today," that does resonate a lot with my life, you know?
Yeah.
And when you do that and you think about it and you go through it, then it smooths and cools my ambience in
isn't
life,
it,
you know?
Told me there'd be days like these.
Nobody told me there'd be days like these. Nobody told me there'd be days like these. Strange days indeed.
I'm not going to start just singing.
Strange days, because I've had a lot of strange days.
Great song. A quick bit of Everton, because I don't know if you were at the bridge on Sunday, but if you were, you would have been pretty disappointed. I was expecting a much tougher game from your boys.
Totally agree with you, and I think what you'll find is there, Carlo Ancelotti has... I mean, normally he's a three-year man. Normally he's an upfront manager. He takes on a great club and makes it even better. My opinion is that Mr. Ancelotti has decided that at the age of 60, which he is now, he's taken on the Everton challenge and he's going to turn them into a great team. He has literally squeezed the last drop of what he could get out of the squad he inherited. And I sincerely believe now he'll be talking in very serious terms with the owners of Everton Football Club to say, they've got to go. I want to bring these in. I think he's going to start a project which I am certain will end in utter and absolute success for Everton, because I'm not being funny, but Everton are used to being a great club. They are used to winning things. They are used to making their fans think.
Well, they were one of the big five.
When the Premier League started, you're absolutely right. Our chairman, with David Dean, was one of those who said, let's make it. Spurs were one of the big five at the same time.
Yeah. I've just got something for you here. This is a bit of research, Mike, you might be interested in.
Okay, thanks very much,
I mean, did you ever get any back problems, Mike, ever at all? You ever had an issue with that from sort of sitting down for too long? I mean, it's a bit of a broadcaster's
issue. No. Back problems are not a problem with me. I've got a... particularly high door.
Oh, yeah.
Home.
You hang off it?
I hang off it, yeah, I do.
Really?
No, I do. Honest to God, I do.
Shouldn't you be taller on
that place?
No. The other thing is, as I've told you guys before, because I self-medicate to make sure I don't catch the flu or the coronavirus, I'm often lying backwards in my bath with my legs against the wall, which also helps. Yeah, okay. Not a very nice image to think about. But
well, I asked that question because you'll be familiar with the Hadza people of Tanzania. Because California universities have found that squatting or kneeling at work instead of sitting would help stave off chronic diseases. They're anthropologists. They say the Hazda people of Tanzania. I think we've got one or two coming in Paddy's box later on.
Yep.
They don't use furniture.
Yes.
And they were less likely to suffer from chronic ailments despite remaining in resting postures such as sitting and kneeling for up to 10 hours a day. They're lazy bunch, aren't they?
Yeah.
The hunter-gatherers did not show signs of the health conditions associated with a sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah. But I tell you something about squatting, right?
Oh,
it's the end of Andre Villas-Boas, right?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. Once a manager starts squatting, it means...
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. I'm serious, because it's a physiological thing.
Yeah.
If you stand up tall and straight, you want people to look at you and see what you're doing.
Yeah.
When you're losing, you start squatting. It happened to Andre Villas-Boas, but it also happened to the England rugby manager before Eddie Jones. What's his name?
Stuart Lancaster.
who was a teacher.
Yeah.
He was a teacher who was suddenly made England rugby coach. He knew he was completely out of his depth. He didn't have a hope in hell of winning, and he started squatting on the touchline.
Do you think it's
just like Andre Villas-Boas? When you see people squatting, going around, jumping on their haunches,
like a
bunny rabbit, they're finished.
So basically have a flutter on them getting the sack next. You would put them, they should be ahead of the sack race.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
What
first time
that?
You see a manager
Never
squatting,
that,
believe me, he's down.
It'd be funny if Carlo Ancelotti squats this weekend.
Yeah, if you see Carlo squatting, you'll know, won't you?
No, Carlo won't squat. He's 60 and he can't
probably
won't be able to get up again.
No. He'll
have to go off to Tanzania and meet the Hazda people.
I'm telling you, that's something to watch for, fellas.
We will, we will.
It's one of my favourite supermarkets.
Yeah, Hazda, yeah. Other supermarkets are available apart from the Hazda people of Tanzania.
My favourite supermarket's Morrison's, actually.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Yeah. Well, now, there are others.
Anybody else?
I'm looking
John, what do you like?
Anywhere you shop.
Sainsbury's,
Sarah. Sainsbury's.
Tesco's, I should give Waitrose a mention.
Only the snobs ever go for Waitrose.
Yeah, Andy, or Harrods, aren't you? Harrods all the way?
Harrods, yeah, that's
there
me.
You are. Okay, so Mike, have a listen to this. This is you reworking the lyrics to Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy? And some might say improving them. So just talk, after you've heard it, tell us what you think.
Sounds great.
Yeah. If you think you have what it takes and you want to be one of the two challengers to give Anthony a run for his money tomorrow, then the song you need to work on is Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart.
Do you want me to give you a few bars of that?
Go on, then.
If you think I'm sexy and you're done to love me, come on, baby, open wide. If you think I'm groovy and you want to smooch me, come on, baby, by my side.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, not bad, really.
It's, as I said, touch near the knuckle.
But remember, I had to write those lyrics in 0.1 of a second.
Yeah.
Because,
Well, look, we know
if you'd given me 10 seconds, I might have made it.
We know Rod tunes into Talk Sport, so if he is listening, maybe he can just tell us, give us a critique on your reworking of his top hits.
That'd be absolutely brilliant.
Mike, lovely to see you always.
I'd love to see you guys. Thank you ever so much. What a brilliant, brilliant backdrop it is to your wonderful show. Thanks a lot for inviting me in.
Good luck with your punting this afternoon. There's Mike Parry.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Charlie Baker, of course, from the warm-up and selling for me recently.
Having Paddy Power, actual Paddy Power next to me, I may as well have sat here and just put £10 notes in his pocket.
That'd be a better way of doing it.
Yeah.
It would actually bet with Paddy Power.
Much
easier. Give him the money.
Yeah.
You picked up something, though, Charlie, that I hadn't spotted, that Paddy defying the dress code here in the box.
Paddy's got jeans on.
Do you know why? Because his mum's not here. No, he said that. He said his dad will let him get away with it, but his mum is not here this year, and she wouldn't have
it. She might be listening. So
they are green jeans, which I've never seen before.
No.
So I don't know where you get green jeans.
Yeah.
But he's got them on.
He's kept those after would some kind of Paddy Power promotional thing.
But if he stopped at the door? Sorry, mate, can't come in.
Yeah.
I am Paddy Power. All right, mate.
Yeah, you're right, you're in.
So,
yeah, I get it.
We've just decided, me, you, Paddy, and Andy, Charlie, we're going to buy a horse.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to run it at Cheltenham next year, and it's called Elixir de Nuts, and Rupert's going to commentate on it. And call it Esprit de Large.
It's amazing that he got the name. It's very unlike him to actually come up with his own name.
I mean, I don't think we'd get it past the people that, you know.
Has he been drinking cocktails in Falaraki? Is that what it is?
I think it is a cocktail in Falaraki, yeah. One of those stop-offs on an 1830. You can drink this one. It's blue. It's predominantly blue drink.
But it's shot.
Yeah, it's shot. Have a shot
of Elixir de Nuts.
Have a shot of that.
Now, last night, Charlie, you were at the Paddy Power house.
Yes. There's a Paddy Power house party going on
every
night this week where they, you know, they have guests on and it's like a little chat show. Helen Chamberlain, the Talk United, the world's most famous Talk United fan.
Yeah.
She presents it very, very well.
Do yourself down.
Last night was Ruby Walsh. Very nice to meet Ruby. Full of stories,
He doesn't support Talking.
He doesn't support Talking. And I asked him about Newton Abbott because obviously Newton Abbott's got a race course. That's where I'm from. And he went, yes, Newton Abbott. We'd land at Bristol and then we'd get to Newton Abbott at 7:30 in the morning and there'd be nothing to do but go to the chip shop.
Is he from Chicago?
Yeah, he's from Pakistan. Ruby Singh Walsh.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and anyway, so he was very nice. Leon Dublin was on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was very nice. I mean, in a home, he tried to do. Tried to sell the house.
Did he do a bit of that?
Bit of that, but I hope
all the way up to the bedrooms. Did he do his trademark, Dion? When he does
that's what he did. All the way up
to the bedrooms.
Anyway, it has become a sort of catchphrase for me.
It has.
Anyway, I'm sat there. You know, I'm a very funny man. I don't know if you know.
Other than this,
I'm a comedian. We sat there.
You didn't judge the room, Charlie.
Judge the room. I went in. I'm there with Paddy Power, Ruby Walsh, in a house sponsored by Paddy Power, building up to the Cheltenham Festival. And they were talking about food. You know, we got into the chip shop and all this sort of stuff. And I said, I've eaten horse. I ate horse once in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. Nothing.
Anyone else eating horse? Ruby? You ever eaten horse?
Ruby?
No.
No.
Paddy? No. Paddy, I mean, you've heard Paddy. He can speak for as long as you want him to speak
on any
subject. Off he goes. You ever eaten horse, Paddy? No.
Right.
So,
a Ruby, I understand because, you know, it's been like cannibalism, wouldn't it? He loves horses.
I'm not saying I don't love horses.
No.
I love all animals, but I also eat animals. So, I was in Kazakhstan in a vodka and horse bar.
Really? You know, you had two options, really.
Yeah, when in Rome.
Yeah.
When in Aktau. When in Altimar.
Was it raw horse?
No, not raw horse. No, is that show that's on?
It's very good.
In the West End.
Very good.
Like the big puppy.
That's a raw horse. It's great. That my wife ate horse. I may have mentioned this before on the show, but we were in Japan.
Yeah.
In about 2004, and she decided to order the horse sashimi, the raw horse.
Yeah.
And she wasn't put off with the fact that I did Peter O'Sullivan right. And here she is, my wife. She's eating the lovely piece of horse sashimi. It won last week at Newmarket.
Yeah.
Etc.
You asked her how it was, and she went.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Fine. Absolutely fine.
Did they get a laugh out of Ruby that one?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
They moved on very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, Charlie.
Real shame. I've won nothing so far. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, Charlie, show on Saturday with Max is going well, isn't he?
Lovely. Saturday morning is the game day warm up. We have a lovely, lovely time. We do. We build up to all the games. Obviously, that's the main thing we do on a Saturday morning. But we try and have a bit of fun as well. People get a little bit like, this is just...
I like the comedians that come on and talk about the service.
Yes, we try and have as many comedians as possible on to make up for me being there. But we do comedians not in cars talking about service stations and football. And we've moved on from favourite service stations because everyone was going T-Bay, Cobham, Beaconsfield. These three came up an awful lot.
Right.
Beaconsfield. Have you ever been Beaconsfield services?
That sounded tremendous. I heard somebody talking about it one morning.
It's got Wetherspoons. You can stay there.
Really?
Yeah.
Stay. It's got Travelodge, it's got Wetherspoons, it's got Nando's.
Wow, I'm not sure Wetherspoons and a motorway service is a great idea.
My friend has said you can have your stag do there.
Really? Services?
At the services. Anyway,
the National Obsession podcast used to have its end of season show at a service.
Trowel services on the M1 North, just
big
past,
party
just
with past all the listeners.
And then they changed the restaurant and stuff there. And
it's gone off the boil, is it?
You and,
also, since we've been in the National League, we don't go as north as much.
No, okay,
it's been
that's true.
A bit of a shame, yeah.
I was going to say, you and John had a sort of special day out on Saturday, didn't they, with Tim Vine. That looked fantastic.
Yeah, the next edition of the podcast, it is you and Tim Vine and John.
Last week, we met Jamie Reid, who's talking about his top scorer and my favourite player.
Yeah.
And this week, we went to Sutton United with Tim Vine, and he's a massive Sutton United fan. I don't know if you know. And do you know their mascot is a giraffe?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The giraffe had a face mask on.
Oh, did he? Not messing about.
Wasn't taking any chances.
No. I understand.
We had a lovely... We sat there.
He should be
lunch.
All right, because you're supposed to be a metre away from people, and he's like more than a metre up.
Love everyone.
Yeah.
We have to temper the language, but I understand as you walk through a lounge, you got heckled by a Torquay fan,
I got called a prawn sandwich bee.
Yeah.
Really?
Let's just...
That's harsh.
For eating at the top table. Yeah. By
top table.
One of the talking foot soldiers.
We've changed.
Yeah.
We've changed. We've got since we met Jamie Reid.
Yeah.
The 300 people who like our podcast really have really taken a Guinness.
Well, if you like a National League podcast, which isn't the tall talky focused.
No.
Oh, no.
Then you'll enjoy the National Obsession.
It's
podcast.
At most 80% talk.
It's on a good day. On a good day. So Charlie, you're back at the weekend, of course.
Weekend, Saturday morning with the game day warm up. Sunday morning, Glory Hunters.
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, we're having a lovely time. Loving Talk Sport. Lovely to be at Cheltenham. I'd like a winner.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Back in our TalkSport studios in London, we saw him a little while ago.
Did.
Chatting about Only Fools and Horses, and who knows of the West End musical, you can never tell.
It's been a huge success.
Huge success, yeah, extended West End run. And joining us now, the co-writer of the show, with many of the songs, and indeed playing Grandad, Paul Whitehouse. Hi, Paul.
I'm all right. How you doing? I'm so stuck in it now. I can't. That's all. That's how I talk. You can hear it in my voice. And I'm looking. I was listening to Simon Jordan earlier. I thought he doesn't get a sore throat, does he? And he never stops.
Well, that's true.
It's gone great though, Paul. When just before you started, you came and saw us, and we said, never tell, can you? Never tell what's going to take and what isn't.
No,
people,
I mean, it's not my.
People love the show.
It's not my world at all. You know that West End theatre world. I don't know. Didn't know anything about it, but what we've done is managed to reach the TV audience, you know, the people who've loved Only Fools, and it's got through to them, and it's been really successful, and it's a joy to do, and it's a privilege, really, you know.
Is it hard work though? Because I mean, you do what you do to eight shows.
Yeah, well, eight shows, I mean, it is for an old fella like me, you know. And when you see the dancing I do, you know, and the handstands and the backflips. But no, it's a joy, really. But it takes its toll on the throat a bit. But I love it. I absolutely love it, and I can't moan about it. And of course, what it does is it means I don't have to watch Spurs.
Yeah,
that's
onto that in a moment.
Yeah.
One of the other things is so many people who go to West End shows are tourists. They're probably not even familiar with Only Fools and Horses, but this must have a life beyond this. You say the TV audience have found it, but, you know, to do well with a West End show, people must be coming along without really not knowing the kind of background to it and still enjoying it as a standalone show.
Well, I don't think we get, like hordes of tourists, but I do know we get people coming who bring friends who aren't familiar with the show and people from other countries who come courtesy of British friends, but I mean, I don't think we've made the leap yet, you know, where hordes of American tourists are coming. Hey, glad to see you. Oh, is Trigger on tonight? You know, I don't think we've quite Christy. No, we don't. I don't think we've got there yet, but you never know.
Now, I must say, I started getting really addicted to the fishing show. I just thought it was the most wonderful bit of television.
Ah, well, thank you very
much. It really, you know, I mean, it always sounds bad when somebody blows smoke like this, but it's a brilliant show. It really is.
Well, he might be listening now, Bob. He's on tour. He's always got Talk Sport on, if only to shout at the radio, you know. But
but just the relationship between you and also the beautiful places that you fish.
Yeah, I mean, it is beautiful. And it's on your doorstep. That's the thing, Andy, you know?
Incredible.
I mean, it's all there. It's not difficult to access. The Y is extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah,
we don't want to talk it up too much because too many people go there then.
Yeah,
you
know,
that's the problem, isn't it?
Are you doing another series? Please say
well,
yes.
Well, yeah, we are. We've done a couple of episodes and then I'm going to take a bit of a break from Only Fools and do the rest of the series, and then I'll go back and do Only Fools if people are still going. Which reminds me, actually, Alan Brazil, I'd love to go to the show, Paul. I'd love that. It'd be great. And David Seaman, I would love to come. They didn't turn no shows. They're no shows.
Oh, really? Well, Alan, that's not a surprise.
I know, but Ali McCoy said he'd have my Spurs ticket. I said, well, he'd have to come to the Theatre Royal. Hey, Mark, he'd be there, Paul. Great. No show. So there's only you two left. I'll get your tickets for the show, all right?
Oh, yeah, I definitely want it.
But Dave Seaman's a fellow angler. You think he would come out of support?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. Yeah. Shocking stuff.
Yeah. So we said we'd have a look at the football. It's a big ask tonight, isn't it, really? 1-0 down in Leipzig. We saw in the first game they're a decent side. They're actually stronger this side. They've got a lot of their players back.
Oh, no,
it's going to be a huge night, I think.
I genuinely am glad that I am doing the show tonight. I really am. it's quite nice because I get home, you know, the time I get home from the show, and I can usually watch a bit of football that's been on that night. But maybe I don't know if I will tonight. Bergwijn's out, apparently, and he's got an injury.
Season, possibly. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it just seems to go from bad to worse, doesn't it? And, you know, I mean, you take those three players, Kane, Son, Bergwijn, out of any team or the equivalent, and they'd struggle, wouldn't they? So.
Yeah, especially Kane and Sonny.
Yeah,
because when Kane was out last time, Sonny came in and he filled in really well for him. So to lose the two of them is a bit unlucky for Mourinho. But what do you make of him? I know a lot of Spurs fans of my acquaintance are a little bit concerned.
Well, he has had the two, sort of talismanic players, you know, out injured to deal with. So. It's odd. I reckon he'd be great company if you went out for a night with him. I don't know what he's like.
I don't think Don Bellet would think that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. He's probably very entertaining, you know, out of the game. But I don't know. I mean, people say that his record speaks for itself. But he's, you know, is he from a different era? I'm not really sure about that. Yeah. I think he's just a very confident man, isn't he? He knows what he wants and he's not getting it at the moment.
When you ask yourself that question there, Paul, is he from a different era? I thought he'd got a bit wrong manager, didn't he?
Oh, you know, another time. Association football. Should we get the bunting out? Marvellous.
Now, other good news for fans of the Fast Show is that you guys are coming back together to do a reunion.
Wow, is that true?
Aren't you?
Yeah, it's a one-off sort of celebration of 25 years of the Fast Show, but we were a bit lax, so it's 26 years.
Yeah, right.
26 glorious years since our first episode. And it's a kind of documentary, but we're doing Talking Heads as ourselves and as some of the characters. So Manager will be making an appearance and telling us all the developments that have taken place that are killing the game over the past 25 years. Oh, it's killing the game, isn't it? VAR, it's killing the game.
Well, you won't like VAR.
No, he's not going to like VAR.
No, who does?
And here we are at Cheltenham. Paul, do you like your racing? Do you ever get a chance to pop along?
I have, honestly, Paul, zero interest in horse racing. Absolutely none whatsoever. Sorry.
No, you've got to come on. You'd still love this.
I'd enjoy the day out, I'm sure. I think it's all those years as a kid, you know, if you weren't playing football, it was raining, you watch Grandstand, and instead of football, it's horse racing. And I wanted to watch football.
Killed your joy of it.
Never mind.
Well, Paul, lovely to talk to you. Just to let people know that your extended run tour is the fourth time it's been extended.
Yep.
27th of June 2020. Tickets now available for Only Fools and Horses, the musical.
Indeed, and it's a joy. It's a great show, even though I say so myself. And thank you very much, guys.
We're going to come and see it, Andy, aren't we?
We are. We will definitely
bring the wives and we'll come and say hello.
Excellent.
All the best. Yeah. All the best, Paul.
All the best, guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Take care. That's Paul Whitehouse there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. from TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's great fun, isn't it?
From one end, we'll have his notebook of the things that go on tonight.
Yeah, we've already got some good stuff.
Plenty there.
Yeah, that's what people have said to me today, so that's good.
So, look, we appreciate you listening. We're back tomorrow from 1 here on TalkSport, and the podcast will return tomorrow around the same time. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.